Welcome to our third installment of Sun Sessions, where we examine broken girls from affluent backgrounds. If you are hearing this, we've released 2.5 songs so far. We've got Sweeter Than Heaven, which I believe is coming out on the newest compilation for the Lumberjerk Records. It comes out in April. We've also put out Selling Off Someday. For those of you that care about, you know, socioeconomic status and...
Based off Detroit, correct?
Yeah, Detroit bankruptcy a couple of years ago. But seems ever current today, unfortunately, with the dystopia that we currently kind of are existing in. So this next month, I believe we're doing a more polished version of Let the Right One In. And the reason why we're re-releasing that is due to... It's been popular when we played it out live, and I feel like the demo release we have maybe doesn't kind of capture the energy that we put out in the live context. So be on the lookout for that. Also, if this is your first time you've tuned into the podcast, we have 2 other episodes available with Celebration Guns and Panic Baby. And this particular episode focuses on broken girls from affluent backgrounds. Lo, what was your takeaway?
I mean, obviously, we've been around these guys for a while, and they've been very good friends to us, and we dig their music, and we dig what they've been doing lately, especially with what our collaboration was for our EP with Travis. We did Scooter with Travis, and we just sat down. We talked about... they've been around for a long time, which I didn't know how long they've been together for. It's been, I think, like 11 years or 12 years, I think.
I think their band is literally entering middle school now. Or maybe, or at least going through puberty.
I mean, either way, they've been around for a while, and they've been doing work for sure. We just thought we hit on a bunch of topics about their writing process, and they're very, very gear driven, which I think that's really cool. I mean, especially with how our dynamic works, we tend to lean towards that avenue. So it was really awesome talking about their gear and what they use and how they use it, especially.
It was interesting as a songwriter to hear other individuals talk about philosophy and kind of get a little bit metaphysical and showcase some sort of depth and poetry and their lyrical decisions and how they kind of curate a lot of the sounds, and actually start off as very grandiose kind of epic soundscapes, and then how do you parse that out to provide breath? And I think as an interviewer, it was important to me to really reflect on providing space and breath and how that can create atmosphere and also tension and release. And I think that was my takeaway, but I'm not trying to, you know, shade what you guys are going to get out of this. Please stick around. Broken Girls from Affluent Backgrounds talking about their song Asynchronous Pulse. Check it! If you guys wouldn't mind just introducing yourselves and what you guys do in the band. To our listeners,
I'm Chris. I play guitar and, you know, do some of the writing.
Yeah, I write all those zany riffs.
Zany.
This is Travis. I play the other guitar, and they put me in charge, like the head caterwauler of the band. So I write lyrics and scream,
and he has a smoky smooth voice.
Yeah, right. I like that. I like the lead caterwauler. But if you guys wouldn't mind, maybe we'll start with Chris. What kind of influences you guys, or you in particular, in terms of your writing and the style of guitar that you bring into this band?
You know, we're kind of just, you know, bringing these influences together as an aggregate. But, you know, things like Smashing Pumpkins and Old Circus Survive. I love stuff like Caspian and, you know, some of the more, like, kind of ambient post-rock stuff. I don't know. I guess there could be 1,000 for me to list, but they're pretty much major things.
Awesome. And Travis, what's brought you to this point? What made you into a musician?
I just a love for music in general. Anything that I thought was clever and really connected and could be subtle, understated, and then really big when it needed to, just drew me to being part of that scene. I wanted to make that. I wanted to do that. I wanted to both share that experience with other people and make that happen. So yeah, just from an early age, I was like, this is what I want to do.
How did you guys meet originally?
We had a mutual friend that like, we also both do AV. So we both kind of had very similar jobs at the time. So it was like, oh yeah, here's my buddy that does AV. And it was, at the time it was, I don't know, it came across as like one of those like, you know, you have those interactions with people where it's like, oh yeah, well this person has this vague, you know, similarity. You guys should be friends. And then you're like, yeah, whatever. And then so, you know, he introduced us and then we kind of went on from there. That was actually our original drummer from like years ago.
Yeah, 2005.
We've been writing together for years, but like
over a decade.
Right. And we finally, but then we finally just kind of decided to actually do it. But we, you know, we used to play with this old drummer, you know, years ago. It was fantastic back in the day. And then, and Travis moved to Denver for a while. And then he came back, and when he came back, we're like, all right, let's actually do this.
Well, I was up there. I put together, I don't know, I had a basement up there, which was kind of cool. You don't see a lot of basements in Arizona. Mm, and no. Every time I move, I'm like, yes, that'd be rad. So I had a little studio down there and I was mostly doing acoustic guitar shit and just trying to do solo guy stuff, and I had a few things put together and had talked to Chris about it because we just tried to stay in touch throughout that, but it's hard. We're not the postal service. Neither of us had studio rigs to like send stuff back and forth. So when I got down to this area, I was like, hey Chris, check out some of that. He's like, I have some stuff to show you too. Before Broken Girls, we didn't play out, so we didn't necessarily exist in any one form.
Right.
So, I mean, Chris and I could play music, call ourselves whatever the hell we wanted. We came up with a bunch of, have napkins full of stupid names that we would play out if we ever went. You know, just Chris and I. Let's
Billy
go.
Billy Corgan's Bloodthirst.
Yeah, Billy Corgan's Bloodthirst, the Wilford Brimley Massacre. So we've been making this music forever, and we're like pretty stoked about it, but without playing it in front of people, it always kind of seemed less impressive. Like, I can go, hey, come out and hear this song the way it should be heard. And that's when people go, oh, you guys are like a band. For better or for worse, take it as you will. We are making all original music, performing it out live, and trying to take it seriously. The connection to people, the audience, is really what I wanted to get out of the new, like, hey, me and Chris are going to, you know, build a band, taking songs that could have been out 12 years ago, playing them over and over and over again, and as we grow as musicians, just crushing them into basically a finite little taste of what could be excellent. We try to condense it all down into something accessible, because that's really what it comes down to.
Well, like, you know, he would write stuff, he moved to Denver, like, the stuff that I would write on my own would be, I would end up, you know, writing all these, like, looper-based, like, you know, just 18 minutes, just diatribes of just bullshit. Like, I enjoyed playing it and I enjoyed listening to it, but no one else wants to hear this. And then I'd show it to people and be like, this is cool, but when did the vocals start? Yeah. So then, you know, like, all right, let's try to kind of take my little, you know, my ambient, like, noodlings, and let's put some structure behind it.
Mike and Sean, where do they come in this process when you guys are writing everything and coming up with your songs and playing them out and et cetera?
Mike's been in the band from the start. Just, you know, he's been somebody that's been around all the time. You know, he's played guitar for years.
Right.
And you know, he's been in other bands and he's been a pretty accomplished guitar player. We're like, look, man, we need somebody to play bass. Like, you know, you want to do this? So he jumped on it and, you know, couldn't be more pleased. And then, you know, we came across Sean. And, you know, some of the material on Aggregate, like, he didn't really have a lot of input in.
It was already done.
It was already done before he was in the band, except for, like Bones, like, was developed, like, organically. And that's why, you know,
if you notice, it's the only song that starts with drums.
Right. Like, and, you know, they were able to come in that way and you know, be influential in the writing process. And that, I think, you know, point being, is I feel like that is the genesis of, you know, the other instruments being really influential in our writing.
Where does the actual name come from? I know we're kind of backtracking a little bit. I'm curious for my sake and for the listener's sake.
This is as much Chris's fault as it is my fault.
I don't know about that.
It is.
I always take full responsibility for this when we're making t-shirts. When I'm making t-shirts, I curse my own name. Because I'm hand-making this shirt with this 37 goddamned letters.
That is... It's very sweet of you, although it is a line that I uttered It was after...
It's really fun typing broke girls on Instagram, by the way. It's like getting a lot of broken...
Broke girls? For...
Yeah, a lot of them.
Two broke girls compilation.
So obviously I set up a I set up a Google alert for our name.
Oh, yeah.
There's nothing more defeating than getting a Google alert for two broke girls.
Although it made our
You URL. Guys will not be on NBC or ABC, whatever, right. next week.
Our URL is dirt cheap. Though,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
like fucking super long, and yeah. nobody wants.
Well, we kept coming up with names, and like, ah, nope, taken. Well, nope, taken.
We right. in the early years, we basically rehearsed in the garage, right? Like most bands, like we fucking went out in a garage. We didn't know if it was gonna take, and you know, just doing it. And those were all fueled by Jameson. It was like 100%. Like I just fucking hammered all the time because I happened to live in the house that had the garage attached to it. So all I had to do was stumble 30 feet in any direction and I was safe, really. So there was a lot of Jameson and somebody, you know, we used to invite people over because we never knew if we were going to have a gig. We were just kind of writing out songs. We hadn't played out yet. And even though that's where we were headed, we'd have people come over and be like, well, if you want to hear some new songs, come on over and fucking check us out. And somebody was like, so what are these, and like we don't even have names for any of these songs yet, we're just a jam band in the garage. And they're like, so what are these songs about? And I don't know, my fifth fucking, you know, giant tumbler of Jameson on the rocks, I was like, you want to know what these songs are about? All of these songs are written about the same fucking thing. Okay, are you listening? Did you fucking hear me? All of these songs are written about broken fucking girls from affluent fucking backgrounds. Okay. And Chris, also fueled by the amount of booze, just was like, oh, and grabbed a dry erase marker and just was like, broken girls from affluent backgrounds.
Band name? In a box.
Like, dip, band? That's it. That's
band it. Name? Anyone? And I was like, it's too fucking long and it's stupid. And that's where I left it. And then Manny from the Rogue
Girl. Fuck yeah. Shout out to Manny.
Like, hey, do you guys want to play in like a month? And we're like, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's the only time anyone's ever going to offer this. This is one time, and then people are going to be like, this is terrible. What's the name of your band? And Chris is like, huh? And I was like, broken girls from headphone backgrounds.
So I think you're telling us about like a change in the writing process. It sounds like it's been pretty much contained between the two of you.
Right.
And sounds like...
each other separately. You know, with aggregate, like, I would come and be like, hey, here's a song that I kind of worked out. What do you think of this? Is it garbage? You feel free to turn your nose up, you know, I respect you as a musician. Don't go, yeah, it's great. Because I'm going to want you to play with me on it.
Right.
And then Chris will be like, what do you think about this riff? And it'll be, you know, let me build it for 45 seconds while I do, like, 8 loops. And I'll be like, damn, that is wicked. Can we get lyrics in there somewhere between all of the other sounds? So we just deconstruct it and pull it back together, and then Chris will be like, your stuff is all acoustic, there's nothing else going on, how do we offshoot some of that responsibility to other stuff?
So another thing I think that you guys touched on it briefly, but as you're preparing the newest EP and you're talking about the transition in writing, obviously you guys sounds like doing writing via email, is that fair to say, like especially when you lived in Colorado?
Yeah, we were, at least back in the day. Now, like, well, you know, so it's basically aggregate and then the Synchronous Pulse and then this new EP. But this, you know, this new EP, we ended up, or this Synchronous Pulse, that is, we ended up, there's a friend of ours, Aaron Starr, is a ridiculously good producer. And when I say producer,
guitar player,
a hell of a guitar player. But he... for whatever reason, he's able to pull performance out of us. Like I don't know what it is, but like a Synchronous Pulse, we brought to him as an idea. Like we had like, hey, check this out. You know, I think most of that riff is written off of. I had first got the Earthquaker Divisor's Afterneath.
Okay.
And so I was just like experimenting with that, and so I had this riff off of that, and Travis had a riff. It was funny because we were two separate riffs, and we're like, oh, wait, hey, it's the same key.
Wait a minute.
Hey, wait a minute. Wait a tick. And so he ended up kind of helping us construct that, like pulling, he basically pulled the song out of us, really. And then everything after that, we, like, everything on this new EP, we kind of just wrote together.
Yeah.
So it's a very different process.
He kind of showed us where the negative space has to be, where we need to make room for stuff, and that's where we took that process of Asynchronous Pulse and moved it forward into the newer songs is like, how do we create space? Breathe. Because Asynchronous Pulse taught us where to put breath in the, you know, upcoming and future endeavors for Broken Girls. There's a lot more of this. Take a breath for a second because it's about to get wild.
So tell me about, I guess, the group dynamic in your band, and then how much of a role your current producer has in your songwriting process.
Well, outside of Asynchronous Pulse, not a lot anymore. Okay. It was constant where Chris and I would bring these ideas to Aaron Starr, and that was when it was just, you know, me and Chris trying to be seven different titles of different bands. Asynchronous Pulse, we took up to him still kind of in a transition. This was like right before we had found Sean, and we were kind of trying to make new music. And he has a shorthand that helped us when we were indecisive. You know, when Chris was like, should I cut this? And I'm like, no, I love it. But should I do this? And neither of us could like figure out what the other one could or should be doing. And he would have this shorthand that was either like, you're good, leave it alone. And we just listen, because we just throughout the years, the music that he creates, we respect to a degree where if he goes, you guys are on the right track, keep it up. Or like, nah, don't do that. We'd be like, okay, we should go in a different direction. And Asynchronous Pulse is probably the last instance where that occurs.
Yeah, I mean, between Aggregate, you know, to Asynchronous Pulse, to this new yet to be titled EP, we're definitely making a conscious effort. Like, you know, this works better if we're all just here and just write together. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, we all, you know, we'll contribute ideas or come up with ideas on our own. But you know, the idea is like, you know, to really bring this to fruition, it's, you know, okay, let's just get in the room and figure it out. And you know, having the other input has been, you know, paramount to getting that done and it being, you know, actually interesting.
So tell me about the initial, I guess, inspiration for Asynchronous Pulse. Who started that particular item? It looks like you're pointing to Chris. So
that's Chris's baby. Yeah.
So I mean, that was really the product of I just got an Afterneath, and I was just messing around with some chord structures, and we actually play in an F tuning, but I end up, you know, my lowest string is actually tuned to D sharp. I think I was actually in a F standard at the time, and you was, I know, I'm sorry, and was just messing around with it, and that's how I came up with that, because I was in the wrong damn tuning. Yeah. But that's where I came up with that bass riff of it in the verse there. And then, you know, Travis had something else that was not related, that we just kind of happened to be in the same key for the verse part.
Because you were in the wrong key.
Exactly. Because I forgot that I changed my tuning.
Oh.
And then a little pre-chorus part, Travis ended up picking out there.
Oh, yeah, that was fun.
Mm-hmm. Now, what's interesting is, like, the chorus of that song is, like, you know, the influence of Aaron. Like, the chorus of that song, we had...
Dude, I'd never do
that. Right. We had basically version to pre-chorus, and we're like, yeah, we're cool. So you'd be like, yeah, your chorus isn't really a chorus, you know? And so...
That sounds familiar.
Like, the chorus of that, you know, like what you're saying, like, it would draw stuff out of us. Mm-hmm. Like, the chorus of that is not something I would ever think of playing. Like, you know, like the
delivery,
it's like,
of it.
Right, the delivery. It's descending single note, just three notes, and then switch back down to a lower position. And again, three notes in the same progression, and like... It sounds great. I love it. But if I played that, I would be like, no, that's too lazy.
If you played that, I'd be like, nah.
Right.
Don't do that. But is that the best you got?
But it's all, yeah, right. It's all in the delivery of it, though. Like, yeah. the way he presented it, the way he delivered it, it's like, oh, yeah, no, we should do that.
The rest of Asynchronous Pulse was designed to be very open and very, mm-hmm. very reverby, you know, very, like, give a lot of space, a lot of breath. Almost like you're watching the tide go in and out or whatever. You're just chilling. The musically, structurally, the delivery, all the rhythm kind of puts you in this, like, we're kicking it vibe. And he's like, well, it'll be a nice, cool contrast for what is otherwise the pretty mellow, you know, delivery. There's a lot of really drony, cool things going on. Let's have this be almost tighter and crunchier. So you kick off that afterneath and you get this tight, really present, you know, chunky guitar in there that is broken up by some of Chris's guitar work and some, I guess he put synth on it just to try and help with layering for that. And yeah, that idea stuck.
I do want to know, because you obviously have very powerful imagery in the lyrics department. It's very, you're painting pictures with words. So what is the inspiration of, you know, the idea of dismantling like the castle walls, etc.?
Sure.
What is that about?
Well, that's all part of me writing things out that I think does paint a picture. One of the things I try to do is have a picture, a line. Like, if you're listening to the song, every line delivered verse by line verse will have like a Polaroid kind of fucking forming for you while you're doing that. And those individually should strike a chord. And that's what we were discussing before, like as a band, like, okay, we're going to do asynchronous pulse. What are we thinking? You know, asynchronous pulse, what does that mean? That's a pulse that you can't get a fucking rhythm down to. It will be a non-repeating, never-ending imaginary number going off into fucking space, and you'll never get the feel of it. It's a rhythm that just doesn't exist. You can't sway to it, and just when you think you can tap along to it, it fucking throws you off. Right. That is the rhythm of life, essentially. It's this fucking, I think I got it down, now I don't.
Yeah, I think the metaphor that I brought up was like, you know, you'll be sitting in traffic and you'll see two turning signals that are, oh, hey, those are insane, and then it slowly drifts out. Okay, cool. Right. You know, like it ends up being, you know, 2 BPM off over the course of a minute, and it's completely opposed at a certain point.
And the first line is, "God damn this gravity," and one of the concepts Chris and I rely on is that depression and insanity are things that you are like a rocket fighting against the actual pull, the gravitational pull of the Earth. And you never quite get the fuck out into the atmosphere. You get to this apogee, this apex, where you're just, oh, I'm almost there. And then it always brings you the fuck back down, because no matter how high up you get, there's more to lose from that height. And you look down and you might have vertigo, or, you know, just fear of fucking heights, and it freaks you out. And like, the mo money, mo problems fucking struggle is like real. But like in this case, money is just anything you fucking value. The more that you have in your life that you appreciate, you love, you respect, and that you feel like you've earned, the more there is to lose. And that's for, you know, your fucking mental health at the time. That's for whatever you've acquired, the relationships you fucking put together. Everything and anything could be gone in a second. And that could be your own fucking choosing, because your own insanity could bring you right back down, and you push all that shit away, all the shit you worked so hard for, just gone. And you can burn those fucking bridges just way too fast, you know? And then it's another struggle. So it's this asynchronous pulse where it's like, just when you think you got the fucking rhythm down, womp womp.
Right.
You know?
And I think we've touched on many things. Yeah. So let's talk about the recording. I feel like at that point, at least from where I'm sitting, I think we flushed out literally everything. So thank you for being so open.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, as far as the recording process is concerned, for Asynchronous Pulse is very unique.
Dude, that was the definition of aggregate.
Yeah, right. Yeah, for real.
It really was.
Recording it
was very non-traditional.
It was unique, and it's not like what we did for this next EP or we're going to do going forward. But so, like I said, me and Travis went down to Aaron's and we're like, hey, man, I got this idea. And so, we ended up like, you know, we'll go there with an idea thinking like, oh, yeah, we'll just bounce it off him. And it'll be like, okay, well, yeah, hang on, record that. And then smash cut to, we have a 4.5 minute song. We're like, how the hell did we get here?
So play me that part again. Yeah, hold on, I'm just going to roll on this real quick.
It's like, oh, okay. Like, okay, we'll give you a bounce later.
It's like, we accidentally had a song.
Yeah, right. So we got that done, but like I said, like when we've been playing to machines, so like when we recorded it with Aaron, yeah, we got to make that distinction. We recorded it with Aaron. We ended up doing all sequence percussion just because it's, you know, he doesn't have the means to record a kit there in his space. So we recorded that, the vocal. He did the keys for us. you know, we had no idea. We had no idea we even wanted keys, but we did want keys. So we recorded all that down at Aaron's place. Mm-hmm. And then we got a bounce of it and we're like, wow, we really like this. We just don't really care for the, you know, fake percussion.
Right.
So we ended up getting, you know, he sent us over a bounce of it without the drums and to, you know, on a grid, and we ended up recording the percussion of it in our recording space there. Honestly, what you hear there is actually his first take.
Fucking crushed it. One take. Yeah. Immediately.
And shout out to Sean, because that dude knows his shit. He knows his gear. He knows how to play. He knows how to work into the space that you guys are. I mean, the... Personally, as a drummer, I mean, I admire the fuck out of Sean.
Dude, he's hard working.
He knows what he's doing.
Well, let me
tell you. I had many conversations with Sean. It's always in the weeds of gear and recording process and everything else.
Well, I gotta give a lot of credit for having to just fucking deal with us.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
first and foremost.
You know, oh yeah, could we get a little more, you know, boom, tap, boom, boom, tap. You know, yeah, exactly, like that. A little more shaky, shaky. Right. So, like, God bless him.
So talk us through your next EP now. What's the plan now? You said you're when I talked to you guys last, you said it was mostly mixed, mostly mastered. It's already kind of set to be put out.
Yeah, so it's fucking ready. It's like 95%. We got some minor things that we're getting added, like just here and there, but like the mix is killer. We're stoked on it. We're looking at May that we're gonna release it.
An official release.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're probably gonna release the first single from an early May and then the EP itself the end of May.
Cool. Do you guys have a date lined up for a show type of thing?
Working on that.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to have one big show and actually release an EP. And we're pretty proud of this one.
So I guess before we kind of like cap off for today, do you have any Easter eggs on this single specifically that at first listen, any listener would kind of not get that you would like to kind of point out?
Sure. This particular track is my first foray into doing multi-vocal tracking. You'll hear more of that in the new EP. You don't hear any of that in aggregate, but this is where I start layering vocals in the pre-chorus.
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess to end and on another note, any plugs, anything else aside from the EP coming up? Anything, any projects, any goals for this year coming up?
I mean, this year we've spent... Since our inception recording, we really have. I mean, trying to get songs out and writing new songs, and just the fiasco of trying to get shit out that we're proud of has taken our entire existence. So now that we have tangible fucking product to move, we're focusing almost exclusively in 2018 is playing shows, promoting that, making music videos, making fucking stickers, making, you know, different odd ass celebrities wear our t-shirt.
Nicolas Cage, shout out.
You know, like just making more content, doing music videos. We're gonna have at least 3 music videos come out this year. We're gonna do one for Asynchronous Pulse. We're gonna do 2 for singles off of the new EP coming out. Look out for multiple teasers that are coming out to promote that. We're gonna be doing a lot more content since we're not scheduled to record. It'll all be gigs and promotion.
Are you aiming for the videos, by the way, like later in the year, mid? You know,
we're trying to get one done before or right at the time of release of the new EP. So by May-ish. Yeah, like because
one of them.
If we don't put it out pretty close to the release of that single, which would be Bridges Burnt, you know, like that single would come out with a video. If it doesn't come out relatively close to each other, what the fuck is the point? You know, like, hey, you've heard the song. Now, 90 days later, check out the music video. Like, yeah, okay, maybe. But the first time that person's going to consume that content would most likely be via video. So give it to them at the same time as the other person who's more likely to hear it on Spotify, or else don't fucking put it out. You know, so we're trying to really get these rollouts nailed down as multifaceted kind of experiences, multiple venues of merch. You know, like we'll have new shirts, new stickers, new EP, music videos, a whole new, like, oh, here's our new EPK, here's our new package, you know, our electronic press kit is now this, like, you've seen that before, that's been us for a while, this is the new shit, this is the new direction, this is the new music, here's a new thing for everybody. The 17 people who've purchased our shirts will have a new shirt to buy. in the near future, which we're excited about, and basically just playing as much as we can.
Woo. So yeah, here's Asynchronous Pulse. We're gonna play that.
Thank you.
Like vapor.